Science.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dear Science, a podcast by the Connecticut Science Center. I'm Nate Gagnon.
And I'm Kayla Ringard.
And we work at the Connecticut Science Center, where we get to teach and think about science in a lot of interesting and very fun ways. We spend a lot of our time interacting with people and showing them interesting things about science and also how to teach science, and also answering questions that people are curious about. But I'm going to tell you, we definitely do not know everything. So during this podcast, we are going to have some other guests from the Connecticut Science Center, and we're going to share some questions from people that have visited us. Some of these questions have been really, really silly. Some are very serious, but all of them are guaranteed to be interesting. And something interesting that I thought I would share about myself as a child when I was thinking about science was that I used to think, Kayla, that I had a superpower.
No way.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I must have been, you know, between 5 and 10 years old. And for the longest time, I noticed that I could see something. And I assumed that no one else could see it.
Like an invisible man? Like, can you see other people?
So not quite like that. But if we were at like a barbecue or something like that, I would notice that when like my grandfather was standing by the grill, I could see these wavy lines coming up over top of the grill. Anything that was really, really hot. I was like, I must be able to see heat. And I never heard anyone else ever talk about it.
It's true. Like I've heard about that, like the heat waves, like off of like a hot tar, if you're like at the playground and the tar and you can see like the waves and stuff like that. But I honestly don't remember how I learned that either.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would see that too. I'd be, you know, driving down the road and you see it kind of above the pavement. And I was like, well, if no one else has talked about this, it must be just something that I have a superpower for. You know, this is back in the day with Power Rangers and stuff like that. So I was like literally waiting around for the time that someone would be like, oh, I'm going to go over and touch this thing. And I could be like, no, stop. It's hot. You're going to burn yourself. And they'd all be like, how did you know? I was waiting for that big Spider-Man moment, you know? Mm. And as it turns out, it's something that everyone can see. Yeah, it's just based on how much light refracts through different temperatures of air.
Yeah, and it really isn't something we talk about very much, but happens a lot.
Yeah, so I guess essentially it's just that when air is colder, it's denser, there's more of it. And when it's hotter, it's thinner, there's like less of it in the same space. And light can just get through hotter, thinner air easier than cold air. Just like if you were to, like sound can get through a thin sheet better than like a thick comforter or a pillow, if you were to try and yell through something like that. And where our eyes just see it kind of reflecting all wavy. And sometimes it can make like really cool optical illusions and mirages.
Like, yeah, a mirage in the desert when you hear like those old stories when you're walking through the desert. No, I think I see a water fountain and it's like a blurry rock or something.
Yeah. That would be a bad superhero power to have, to think, oh, I can find water in the desert. And as it turns out, no, there's no water there. So that was one of my questions that I had as a kid, is how come I can see heat? Turns out everyone can. But I heard that you found another question from another young person.
Yeah, so we were asking some cool kids around the Science Center for what they were curious about, and I actually had a friend that I met that had a really great question. Let's check it out.
How big is the moon?
That's a very direct question.
So Daniel, he was very curious about how big the moon is. And you know what? I'm actually kind of curious too, because I know like I've been taught and stuff that, you know, outer space planets are very big. Mm-hmm. But when you actually look up either at night or, you know, sometimes the moon's out in the day, you look up and it looks kind of small.
Yeah.
When you're looking up there and you're like, huh, it's just this little thing. But then
yeah, you could
people,
cover it with your hand, right?
Yeah, yeah. They say, oh, you know, outer space planets are big. I don't know how
big. Or even
big.
Something like Jupiter is massive, right? But when I look at it, it's so far away that I see it as just a dot.
Just
it was almost
tiny
a star.
Dot. Yeah.
So it's pretty hard to tell just from looking how big it is.
Yeah. So I actually have another friend here at the Science Center that knows a lot about space. So I brought this question to him to see what we could learn. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Kayla. I heard you got a question for me.
Yeah, my friend Daniel has a question. He wants to know how big the moon is.
Yeah, well, that's an awesome question. I like to think about it in terms of things we know.
Okay. Right?
So imagine for a second that the Earth is the size of a basketball.
Right? All right.
Took a shrink ray, just shrank it down, size of a basketball. The moon would be about the size of a tennis ball.
Okay, so that means like the moon is obviously smaller than the Earth.
Exactly. And so, yeah, that's what we're dealing with here. It's the tennis ball versus a basketball. Now, if you want to get specific, the diameter of the moon is about 2,100 miles. So to put in perspective, the width of the United States, coast to coast, that's about 2,800 miles. So, yeah, we're talking a pretty big object here.
Wow, that was a pretty quick explanation. I'm glad that Nick just has that knowledge in his head right now.
Yeah, I told you he was a smart guy. He knows a lot about space.
So he's saying that the diameter of the moon, and the diameter is what? That's the like the imaginary line that goes straight through the center?
Yeah, like if you like cut it in half, it's from one side to the other side.
Oh, so if you took like an apple and shot an arrow through it, the arrow, the part that's inside of the apple, is the diameter.
Yeah.
And that would be as long as the United States, as long as a like 4 or 5 day road trip?
Yeah, from all the way on one side to the other side. So he said like the tennis ball versus the basketball. Obviously, the moon is smaller, but the United States is a pretty big size.
Yeah, so I mean, Nick didn't figure this all out on his own. Someone else has figured it out and Nick has just learned from them.
Yeah.
How long have people known how big the moon is?
I actually was really curious too. I had no idea, but you would be surprised. Let's check in.
Now, it's really neat how actually we figured that out.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, when did we figure this out?
All right, can take a guess. When did we first figure out the size of the moon?
I think we had, like, telescopes in the 1800s, so maybe then.
Oh, nope. Way off. Way off. You didn't even need a telescope to figure out the size of the moon.
No telescopes. Way off?
Yeah.
5,000?
300 B.C.
300
B.C.
That, they didn't even have, like, electricity or...
Like, nothing. Almost. Yeah. We're talking a very, very low-tech time in civilization, which I think is absolutely incredible. I am in awe of how we did this. It was all from this guy Aristarchus, and he used lunar eclipses.
Right? Oh, lunar eclipse. So lunar eclipse is when the Earth casts a shadow on the moon, right?
Yeah, exactly. The Earth casts a shadow on the moon, and his secret was figuring out how much time it took for the moon to go through the Earth's shadow.
Okay.
So that relationship of the moon size and the Earth's shadow is what led him to figuring out.
Because we knew the size of the Earth at that point.
Yeah, yeah. So
we knew the size
time,
of the Earth. So we knew the size of Earth's shadow. So when you measure how long the moon takes to get across it, you were able to do some math in order to get it.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. So if you know the size of the Earth, then by using this relationship, you can figure out the size of the moon.
That's awesome. So 2,100 miles, a little bit less as wide as the United States is. So a little bit smaller than us, right?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and because it's so much smaller, there's all kinds of other interesting properties of the moon.
Okay, so they used the size of the Earth and the shadow of a lunar eclipse to figure out how big the moon is. So why do you think we want to know how big the moon is? Just curiosity, I guess. I mean, does the moon affect the Earth very much?
Yeah, absolutely. The moon, the Earth, they are intertwined, right? The moon is in orbit around the Earth, right? And it's all has to do with gravity, right? Earth has a certain amount of gravity, right? And that's keeping the moon going around it and around it.
Yep, so Earth has its gravity and the moon has gravity too.
Wow, so this like really, really big object is just kind of floating and circling around the Earth. There's a lot of gravity there. That's got to have some consequences for us here on Earth, right?
Oh, definitely. There are many different things that the moon's gravity actually has impact on here. So have you ever heard of how the moon affects the ocean and the tides?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The water rises and falls like twice a day. And that's because of the moon, right?
Yeah, the moon's gravity is actually strong enough to pull just a little bit on the water, and that little bit can make the waves push and pull in against the Earth.
Mm. Wow. So, I mean, the moon's really, really far away, but its gravity can reach the water in the ocean and actually pull it and make it raise at noon and then fall a few hours later, too. That's really, really cool. What if it were bigger? Would that mean we'd have bigger tides?
Yeah. So, like, the bigger the planet, the stronger the gravity. Mm-hmm. So... yeah, I think if the moon was any bigger, I think a lot of places would be flooded.
Wow, that's really, really interesting. I mean, and what if the Earth were bigger, though? We'd pull against the moon a little bit, right? Would that pull it, might pull it towards us?
Yeah, like gravity is such a strong force. It can really interact between thousands and miles of space. Mm-hmm. So if the Earth was bigger or if the moon was bigger, everything on them or around them would be really affected.
Yeah, and also if the Earth were bigger, it'd be really, really hard for us to get around because there'd be bigger gravity here. And yeah. I mean, I already have trouble getting out of bed in the morning, but imagine if the Earth were way bigger and it pulled on me more.
Yeah, actually, we talked a little bit about that with Nick.
Have you ever seen like footage of the astronauts on the surface of the moon?
Oh yeah, they bounce around like on a trampoline.
Oh yeah, it looks so much fun.
I totally want to try it.
You know, we're actually going back to the moon.
We yeah, are?
We are. Fine. It's 1972 was okay. The last time.
Was the last time the humans were on the moon.
Humans were on the moon, yeah.
Okay.
1972, yeah. Gene Cernan. And the next people who are going to the moon will be around 2025.
No way. That's exciting.
Yeah, we're not too far off, yeah.
So they're going to be jumping around like trampolines too?
I hope so. I mean, I guess that's pretty much how you get around the moon, right?
All right. So the astronauts are bouncing around, you know, so it means they must have a lot less gravity up on the moon. So why do you think the moon has less gravity?
Well, there's a relationship between the mass of an object and its gravity.
The mass. Okay.
Right. How much stuff there is making up something.
So kind of like the size. So we know it's smaller, so it has less mass than the Earth, right?
Right. If it has less mass, that means it's got less of a pull on things on top of it. So so there's actually the moon's gravity is 1/6 the strength of Earth's gravity. So that's why you see our astronaut friends jumping so high, is there's less of a pull down on them.
That's awesome.
So you can lead at least all kinds of cool consequences, right? You can jump so much higher. You can also leave the surface of the moon much more easily. So if you see the rockets that have to come off of Earth,
yeah,
right?
They're huge.
They're enormous. They're like buildings, right? Like the size of buildings. But you don't need that big of a rocket to leave the moon, right? You just need like kind of a tinier little... almost looks like a little torch. If you ever seen like a rocket leaving the moon, it's a lot smaller. So yeah, it's much easier to leave planets that have or moons with less gravity.
Wow, that's really, really interesting. I mean, I've never really put that together before. When they launch a rocket from Cape Canaveral, it's a huge, gigantic rocket. I mean, we have a model of one in our building, and it's as big as our building.
Yeah.
And then we also have kind of a model of a moon lander here, and it's way smaller.
Yeah, it's like it looks like a dollhouse compared to like a full house.
Yeah,
a full house would be the full size rocket, and then the dollhouse would be like the lunar lander.
Yeah, it's like taken off in a skyscraper, or taken off in a backyard shed.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen them play golf on the moon?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Oh wow! Yeah, I think they might have snuck a golf ball. Or something. I don't know the history of that. An astronaut actually took a golf ball and a golf club and hit the golf ball, and he hit it probably farther than anyone. He's got the, if not the world record for a golf swing, he's definitely got the moon record. He's hit it farther than anyone else has on the moon.
You think it's landed by now?
I think so. I do believe so, because I think they have the measurements from it. So that was in the 70s, 60s and 70s. But did Nick say that we're going back to the moon?
Yeah, we're going back. Well, we're hoping to go back. We have the next lunar program is called Artemis. Mm. And they named that. It's actually a cool story why they picked Artemis. Because in Greek mythology, Artemis and Apollo were brother and sister.
Yeah, they were twins, right?
Yeah. And Apollo was the first mission. And because this is the next mission, almost like the sister mission, they called it Artemis.
That's really cool.
Yeah. We got to talk a little bit about that with Nick. So we're going back to the moon, you said. So what's what's the mission? Like, how? Why are we going back there? I thought we did enough research. Do we need more rocks or something?
Well, there's still so much more to explore, and I think it comes to the fact that there's a lot of mystery in having a presence on the moon, and it also leads to it being sort of the gateway to the rest of the solar system. Like, if you can settle the moon, then it allows you to go even further to Mars, to even beyond Mars. So it's kind of like a stepping stone. And there's still so much more to learn about the moon. And it's just really exciting. It's really cool to be able to, see humanity on another celestial body.
So you said, settle. Are we, is Artemis, planning to stay?
Yes. The idea here, that's what's different about the Apollo program, right, in the 60s, is that instead of just landing on the moon, planting a flag, and then just going back home after 3 days, the idea here is that it's going to be more like the International Space Station, where you've got a crew that's there for long term. And so you've got the idea that you'll have a crew of about 3 people, and they're going to be on a moon station, a lunar base, and they're going to stay there for several months, and they're going to rotate through different crews. So by having people there for longer periods of time, you'll be able to learn more, do more research, explore. So it's a different ballgame with the Artemis program.
I like that. Maybe if we do well enough on the moon, because it doesn't take long for us to get to the moon, right?
It don't take 3 days.
Yeah. It doesn't take very long to get there compared to Mars. Mars takes a lot longer to get to. If we tried to put scientists or astronauts on Mars, we wouldn't be able to come back and forth very quickly. So it's a good stepping stone, like you said, to start closer by. Mm-hmm. And also because, there's less gravity, it's a little bit easier to launch off of. We don't have to refuel our rockets. Mars is a lot bigger than the moon. Mm-hmm. Still smaller than Earth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about the third size.
So it'd be a little bit trickier. So it's a good way to start learning how to do more space exploration.
Yeah. The moon is like you said, it's sort of like a practice run for settling the larger
expanses of space. That would be
exciting.
I would love to see someone on Mars that is the ultimate.
That's coming too. That's the plan.
I'm so excited.
Oh yeah, the future is amazing.
One of you, if you're listening and you are, learning and love space, I want to see you being the next person on Mars. That would be fascinating.
Yeah, you are going to be the Mars generation, you young kids out there. All
right. I'm a little too far. Maybe I could go to the moon. Maybe not. I get motion sickness. Not a good idea.
I think I'm going to have to agree with you, Kayla. I would have a hard time going to the moon myself, too.
You get motion sick?
Not too much of motion sickness, but I've been camping before.
Mm.
And when you have to bring all of your gear with you somewhere, it's tough. Because what if you forget your water? Or what if you forget your favorite book and now you're super bored?
Or the toilet paper.
Oh, yeah. Oh, all these different things that if you forget it, you're kind of in trouble, right?
Yeah, there's only rocks up there. You can't go down to the local, store and just pick up something that you forgot. It's nope.
Yeah, but I guess so when there's a moon planning, it's more than just me with a checklist going off all the things I'm going to put in my backpack.
Oh yeah, they have, whole committees and groups and stuff, each planning exactly what has to go because you only have a limited amount of space in a rocket, too. You can't just, you know, pack an extra trailer in the back with all your snacks. You have to make it fit in the rocket, and then you have to have enough fuel to get everything. So there's a whole balance between space and weight and what you need to survive. There's so much into going into outer space.
Yeah, I mean, and also there's so much that goes into it. There's a must be a huge team of scientists and people that are all working together just to get those first three people there, and then the next three and the next three and again and again.
Yeah. It would actually take, yeah, a lot of things to get into it. So we talked a little bit more about the Artemis trip and what they're going to need to do to live on the moon. All right, so they're going to have like a settlement, you said, like a lunar base, you called it.
Yeah.
What's it going to take to live there? Like, is it going to be like... I don't even know.
Yeah, well, you think about the things that you need to survive, yeah. Right? You need air.
Food, right? Air.
Food, air. You need, like, space, you know, like, room to live.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of this stuff we take for granted. There's plenty of air, right?
Yep.
We don't have to worry about, you know, walking around with oxygen tanks on our back. We take it for granted that we can grow food in the ground, right? So... none of that's the case on the moon, right? You can't just put a garden bed on the moon. You've got to bring all that stuff with you. So it's a very, very difficult. You need to bring soil to plant crops. You need to bring water. You need to bring a lot of stuff. And so it's not going to be easy to live on the moon. What the secret will be is to, as much as possible, use the resources of the moon itself. So there are, you know, plenty of resources on the moon, but we're going to have to do a lot to put them into a form in which we can use. We're going to have to build our bases out of the moon rock and everything like that.
I heard they are actually on the moon. There is some, like, frozen ice.
Right, and that was a big game changer, right? Because if you have ice, right, you can melt that, and there's your water. And of course, we need water to survive.
Moon water.
Might be
tasty.
Yeah. You can bottle that up, sell that in grocery stores.
Have we tried planting things on moon soil? There's a movie. He plants potatoes on Mars.
Yes, The Martian.
Yes.
He was planting potatoes, and actually. We know a lot about the soils of the moon and the Mars, and you can actually sort of recreate those soils. Scientists have done experiments trying to plant different crops in those soils, and they've had some success. Some crops are easier to plant than others, but we have been able to grow certain kinds of vegetables in simulated Mars soil.
Fascinating. Well, thank you, Nick, so much for joining us today. Learning a little bit more about the moon. First of all, how big is it, like Daniel asked? And also some really cool fun facts that I didn't quite know. So thank you for joining us, and hope to hear from you again.
My pleasure. Thanks, Kayla.
Wow, that was really, really interesting. I'm so glad that Daniel asked that question of how big is the moon? That way we could get to hear from Nick about all those awesome things.
Yeah, do you remember how big the moon was?
Yes, I remember it is, the diameter is as big as the United States is wide, which was like 2,100
miles
across.
Yeah.
That's huge. And I also remember that humans have known that for a very long time.
Very, very, over 2,000 years ago.
Wow.
Way before technology.
Yeah, I mean, just using kind of your brain and your observations in order to figure that out.
And a lot of math.
Yeah, and it's really, really super interesting. And we've just known that for a long time. Let me just edit that part out. And then also, I mean, yeah, we've studied it, the moon, for so long, for over 2,000 years, and known how big it is. And humans were there, you know, 50 years ago. But of course, we're going to be going back to the moon in the next couple of years.
Yeah. There's a lot that we can still learn about the moon. I mean, we've tracked what it does to the Earth. It's, you know, it changes a lot of things around us. And now we get to go back and learn even more.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for reaching out to Nick and asking him that question.
You're welcome.
And thank you so much to our listeners for tuning in. This edition of Dear Science featured Kayla Ringard, Nick Villagra, and me, Nate Gagne. It was written by Nick Villagra and sound engineered by Nate Gagne. The theme song was by Dan Lamoureux. If you have a question for Dear Science, you can email us at askscience@ctsciencecenter.org. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Dear Science.